West album.
I thought, to be honest with you, it was his most, I think, chilled or congruent piece of work in a while. I think because of Yeezus and the Life of Pablo kind of felt like inconsistent and a little all over the place. I feel like it's his most congruent body of work since My Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Damn, you thought Yeezus was all over the place?
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a terrible record, but it
Yeah.
didn't have a clear direction at all.
Yeah.
Well,
I get what you're saying.
I felt this one did. This one kind of felt like it was just, as short as it was, I felt it was clear, concise, to the point, and it just felt like one long song, like just one congruent body of work that just flowed together very nicely and very smoothly.
Yeah. What song was your standout track on the album?
At this point, I don't really have a standout. I personally like them all. I found the intro to be quite interesting.
Yeah.
The love track towards his wife Kim was very inspiring as well, and the sample choices, as always, were really, really great.
For me, that song with Kid Cudi.
Yep.
Was I, to be honest with you, I really don't know all the names yet. Because, like you said, it's kind of like just one long song, and it's just so short that it's like easy just to like not look at your phone and just play it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but like one of the song, the song with Kid Cudi, he has this girl at the end of the song. Her name is 070 Shake. She's like this lesbian chick from New Jersey.
Right.
And I just thought her outro and then her intro to like the next song were both like very good. Like it just, I don't know, like it was just very relaxing and freeing, because like the one of her lines was like, what'd she say? I put my hands on my the stones to see if I still bleed.
Yes.
And then she's like, but see, I feel free or whatever. I don't know. I forget the lyrics, but like, just hearing her, like, it just feels like so, like free. Like, I just feel good, like happy, and just like, you know.
Oh yeah.
Just gave
oh,
me
yeah.
that feeling, you know.
Definitely, yeah. I like not only the chilled vibe, but like you said about not looking at your phone. I kind of felt like it was the first record in a while since Dark Fantasy where I felt like you didn't feel like skipping a single track. It really felt like a really smooth flowing project from beginning to end.
Yeah, Life of Pablo was good, but like to me it had a few skippables in there.
Yes.
Like something you just skip over. Yeah, I get it, yeah. So it was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Surprisingly,
repeat.
Yeah, I was gonna say surprisingly for me the Life of Pablo had better, I felt it had better production, or maybe more simple by the book production compared to Yeezus. But I felt like Yeezus had a lot more, I felt stronger tracks than Life of Pablo. For some reason, Life of Pablo, in my opinion, is Kanye West's most skippable record to date. I don't know why.
I can see that, because there's definitely, it's like very long, and there's several songs that I skip over, so I could see that.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't have much of a problem with the length as I had a problem with the standard of the simplicity of the songs and not really having, like I said, a clear direction. That's the only comparison I can give it to Yeezus, is that both albums I didn't feel really had a clear connection. Just sounded like a collection of tracks that were recorded over a period of time, but didn't really have, like, a story to tell from top to bottom.
Man. No, oh, definitely. They definitely didn't have stories to tell, I'll tell you that much, from top to bottom. But, Yeezus, like, because I'm from Chicago, so, like, Yeezus, I really loved it because he had King Louie feature. And I love King Louie a lot.
Yep.
like King Louie is just, I don't know if you ever listened to him or know about him, but like he's just a great dude. I think.
Yeah.
He does a lot for the kids of Chicago.
Yeah, I only know about him vaguely, but yeah, I feel you.
He's known for all that drill music and like all the hardcore stuff he says, but like, right. Like if you watch any of his videos, like he's always smiling.
Yeah.
And like he does so much for like the youth of Chicago, like has a lot of after school programs and stuff like that.
Wow.
And he gives back to the city all the time. So, like, I don't know. So, like, for Kanye being, like, the big artist that he is, to put someone like King Louis, who really isn't big outside of the city, you know?
Right.
To me, I thought it was dope.
Yeah, and I'm not really surprised because even though it's not seen all the time, I do believe Kanye has always had a strong love for Chi-Town anyway. So, yeah, I'm definitely not surprised by that.
Yeah, I think this might be, like, the first album where he doesn't have, like, someone from Chicago on his features.
Yeah, yeah, true. True, that's true.
Because usually he has someone, like, from Chicago, like, you know, Life of Pablo, he had Chance, you know, and that was, like, a big track right there, Father Stretch My Hands.
Exactly. Which, yeah. To be honest, you also bring up a good point. I feel like the new Ye album kind of was a lot more of a personal type of EP or project compared to his more recent projects. I felt like were a little more collaborative. Even though there were barely any features on Yeezus as well, I kind of felt like that was still a more collaborative effort from a production standpoint. And it was still the more like, grandiose, over-the-top, braggadocio record as opposed to Ye, which I feel like is the most vulnerable I've heard Kanye so far.
Yeah.
So definitely.
Yeah.
So I actually had because I really enjoyed our conversation yesterday, I actually had another idea to pitch to you, but before I do, did you want to discuss any other rap music on your mind?
Well, I was gonna mention Drake and Pusha T, but we can skip that if you want to.
Drake and Pusha T. To be honest, I feel like I've seen so many Drake beefs in such a short span of time. It's almost like I kind of feel like Drake is kind of the king of like indirect beef, where he never has to mention the person's name, but you always know who he's talking about.
But honestly, Pusha T just murdered him. To be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised because Pusha T is a lyrical monster. He may not be a radio hit monster like Drake is, but
I was talking about this to someone earlier too on this, and they brought up the fact that Pusha T said that he's gonna have a better album than Drake, and I told him I'm like he's gonna have a better hip hop album than Drake, yes, because he's like a hip hop purist. Drake isn't. Like, if you listen to a Drake album, they're mostly all R&B popish albums. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Drake has mastered the art of making hits for the culture. So that's where the categorizing of opinion should go for him. But as opposed to Pusha T, who's definitely way more of a hip-hop purist, if we're just going bar for bar, Pusha T would win all the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was telling him. I was like, I could see why Pusha T thinks he's going to have a better album. He's going to have a way better hip-hop album. But guess what? At the end of the day, Drake's going to do more sales anyway.
Exactly. You know? If we're battling for singles and just knowing what hooks people, Drake wins every time. But if we remove the music and just put them like a battle rap showdown, Pusha T wins every time.
Yeah. And, like, Drake fans aren't necessarily, like, hip-hop fans.
Exactly. Drake fans usually have a little more of a diverse taste or are not, like, hip-hop purists or maybe have a more saturated radio taste. So yeah, I get it. I don't have hate for either one, but at the same time, I just had to say my piece on what I think the two audiences defer in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, the idea I quickly wanted to pitch to you is, I don't know if you're up for it. I'm actually trying to recruit a co-host for my music podcast that I've been doing for the past 4 years. And basically, it's similar to what a little bit to what we just discussed, in the fact that what we do is, it's called Sound Collision, and we take songs by artists or genres and we compare them against each other in 2x2 song rounds. And basically how it works is we take like artists at the top of the charts and compare them to artists slightly below the charts or a little bit under the radar. And then what we do is we try to give them a level playing field of contest to see if the ones at the top are getting overrated or the attention they deserve, or if the ones at the bottom need to improve or are getting underrated.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah, it's so basically, the only skill you need to have if you are up for it is just the ability to give your unbiased opinion on what you hear.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That's interesting.
So what to do before you give a yes or no is I can give you the information to look up the show for yourself, and you could see, try to get a gist of what the recordings are like, so you could see if you get an idea of what the show's all about, and then you could feel free to give me an answer at a later time.
Yeah, I'm down for that, yeah.
Yeah. So what to do is, all you have to do is look up, like you see on my name here, Joe Memo Radio. And you can look that up on either SoundCloud, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts. And then click on any episode that says Sound Collision.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So look forward to it. And I definitely would love to see how you debate and how you give your unbiased opinion. Because I think a conversation piece from you sounds really good.
Yeah. One last thing about the rap music right now. What do you think of that Tekashi 69?
That one I wouldn't know too much details about, so I'd rather hear your opinion on it first.
Okay, like, me personally, I'm Mexican, and he's Mexican, and, like, I just love the fact that he's making noise right now for my culture, because it's like, that Mexican culture's not really big in rap.
Right, that's true. I do realize that, especially when it comes to Spanish music culture, I do feel that sometimes Mexico sometimes gets under the radar a little bit, or maybe deserves a little more attention, or maybe even more artists. So I wouldn't know that deep because I'm not in the Mexican culture, but I definitely understand that a lot of general, even in the Spanish culture, period, don't give Mexican music as much attention as they used to, or maybe they've just clouded Mexican history to only mariachi music.
Yeah, there's definitely more than just mariachi music.
Exactly. Yeah. There's more to Mexico than just people with sombreros on their heads singing on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah. So, I don't know, to me, that's dope, the fact that he's, like, in his first, like, big video, Smash Hit, and he's wearing like the full Mexico soccer uniform.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I kind of use that as a global example. I find joy in any country, nation, or culture that finally gets put on the map, musically or entertainment wise, or even the movie or cinematics wise. That maybe has not gotten the enough attention worldwide. So I feel that excitement for African nations, for certain Asians in Asia that maybe people haven't heard of, and even for Mexico. Like that's why I celebrate with you, because I love to see other nations that have not gotten that global attention in the entertainment field get put on the map.
All right, George, our time's coming to an end, so I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to hit you up later.
Yes, no problem. You got my number, because I know I texted you. And, whenever you're ready, let's do it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.